Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. And I do have to say, as an astrologer, there are moments when you don't necessarily look at your own chart. You're so busy looking at the skies in general. I mean, obviously you're aware that when there are big aspects coming on, but not always focused on it. And I always feel that the moons really do affect me. There's a lot going on around the full moons. And I try to do full moon events and it just becomes very powerful and intense. And the last couple of weeks has been one of those times when I haven't really looked at what was going on in my chart. So, which is very relevant to what is going on. So I am having or have just had my Mars return. And because my natal Mars is in Cancer, that's the warrior without the sword. That's the big emotion in the home, especially in early childhood. It's aggression or hostility in the home, and perhaps antagonism there too, or even amongst women. And perhaps being hyper aware of hostility to coming towards you or loved ones and being protective, a highly attuned protective instinct. So Mars was transiting my own Mars, and we know that's a real kind of kickoff of energy. And of course, when it was transiting my Mars, it was, of course, opposite Pluto. So I've been for a long time having a Pluto opposite Mars opposition. That's been happening for the last couple of years, at least. So you're kind of like, oh, yeah, it's on in the background. But, you know, as luck would have it, my mother has a Pluto-Mars opposition natally. And my Mars is on her Pluto. So when Pluto started transiting her Mars in opposition to her Pluto, that's confusing. So she has Pluto Mars in opposition. And where she has Mars, Pluto has been sitting on there at around 27 degrees Capricorn. And her Pluto at 27 degrees Cancer, where my Mars is, has now got Mars on it. So when Pluto started this, came along to give her a Pluto opposition and a Pluto sitting on her Mars, she was having the most horrendous time. And I was there being involved with this. I had to pick up a lot of those pieces. And that was when her Alzheimer's really kicked off. And that was when she wasn't able to live in a home anymore. And she's now in a nursing home and she has Alzheimer's. And as I said in the previous episode, I've been observing that Pluto now in, well, very shortly not to be, but in Capricorn is opposite very early in its cycle, the people who are born with Pluto in Cancer. And it doesn't normally come around in 80, 90 years. It normally takes 124 years for it to come around to someone's opposition. But this generation, because of the eccentric way Pluto moves, our 80 and 90 year olds are having Pluto oppositions now. So they're all born with Pluto in Cancer. And this is Pluto in Capricorn now, bringing the sort of corporate manifest Capricorn world to the Pluto death process. So there's money to be made in death. And those with Pluto in Cancer are experiencing like that, like we've never known, like it's the opposition to them. So it's really happening to them. It's like, wow. And I'm so seeing that with my parents. Yeah, so because Mars is on my mother's Pluto and on my Mars. So luckily nothing happened to my mother, but I would say she has been living the enlivening and the enhancement of that natal aspect, Mars opposite Pluto. It's like the living dead in a state nursing home. She's had a couple of accidents and operations, and she is at one point living in a hospital. They didn't know what to do with her. But so it is horrid. It's that coming home to you, that aspect really being blown up for you to live through. And at that age, it's, bless my mother's heart, it's horrid. But luckily, nothing absolutely happened to her on that day or those days, except for when it first kicked in. But when the aspect this time around in 2024, a couple of weeks ago, when the aspect came in for me, Mars on my Mars and opposite Pluto I had the weirdest car accident. Yeah, how do you, you know, see something happening to you? And then, you know, it's easy to say, look at the astrology afterwards, but I knew it was happening, but I was thinking I was sailing through it and it was going to be okay. But anyway, I was driving home from the movies and I see a massive stone or rock boulder fly across the road from the other side of the road, and it hits my car, the grill, and then my car runs over it, and my car was like jiggering, jumping over it. You could hear all the metal crunching underneath as it ripped my car to shreds. I didn't know it had done what it had to such an extreme degree that it had. And at that point, I just parked up and ran back to meet the driver of the car it had hit first, coming the other way. He was literally carrying the boulder. It's this massive rock. It was twice the size of a football. And we had to chuck it in the hedge out of the way. And I live near a quarry, so I'm sure it came off the back of a truck. But it's so weird, surreal, to see this boulder come flying at your car, like there was an explosion. However, back to the astrology, this is such a good example of this hugely powerful opposition. And the opposition of two major forces in action for destruction, for huge, unexplained, or out-of-the-blue forces. Something has to give. Something has to explode or be forced into another line of action, just as previously my mother was forced into various lines of action and she couldn't live in her home anymore at the end result. But it was hugely dramatic. So something kind of has to stop or be stopped forcibly, and perhaps against your will. With Mars, who is active with the drive forward, you know, Mars is a yes planet, a bit like Jupiter. You know, yes, we're going to do it. Let's do it. It's got the energy to do things. But Mars does carry the sword of truth, the force majeure, the finality of decision making or of procedure. So there's a finality to it, and as well as the Mars incision. You know, that's the cut that ends things or opens things up or chops off a line of energy, be that a physical limb or a line of inquiry, or chops off a situation. It ends it. That sword, that's what that sword is capable of doing. And of course, with Pluto, when Mars is working with Pluto, there is going to be death, but there is also going to be rebirth. Things have to move on. So I can only be glad that it was my car that took the brunt of that, and that I had a car big enough to run over it rather than I used to have a Mini. That would have smashed it. But it does show that the energy is there in these aspects. And perhaps should I have done something far more profound when it was there? Should I have completely gone a bit crazy maybe and done something really active and used that energy? And then maybe then I wouldn't have had the accident. So it does make me consider that when we have these big, powerful oppositions or any aspect that kind of feels like it could be quite dangerous, that we could use the energy just by jumping around and going to an aerobics class or running around the block and just using the energy up. I'm a firm believer in using that energy, or let it use you. So in the interest of things getting moving with Mars in Leo, where my sun is, before we go retrograde with Mars, I want to let you know there's a discount code for 15% off. It's earlybird15, and it's the discount code, and it's going to last another week. And to get onto my course, and I'd love to have you there. We want to start as Pluto moves into Aquarius, because of course Aquarius rules groups and projects, and Aquarius rules the cosmos and the stars and the planets and our cosmic mind, and also therefore the group consciousness. And there's a slight wildness to it too. So with Pluto moving into Aquarius, it's perfect for the course. It gets Pluto away from my Mars somewhat too. So we won't have any crashes. So that code is earlybird15, earlybird in caps 15. And one of the things that we will be looking at on this course is actually Pluto and who he is as Lord of the Underworld, the Prince of Darkness, who the spiritual hierarchy asked to take care, or invited him to take care of the darkness and of the subconscious and of the hidden worlds and the death processes. And he and his agents come to fruition every six years. Like there's a cycle here that we're probably not aware of, or more mainstream isn't aware of. Because from the year zero, we come to 666 blossoming of his activity. And at 666 times three is 1998. And this is where Steiner says we are now expecting a reincarnation of Satan and or the devil incarnate. You know, it is Satan's turn. Satan as in Saturn, the manifest world, rather than Sorat the beast, who was working on our conscious mind, very much a conscious mind, so we would talk about it and think about it and discuss it and realize that there was demonology there. And that was around the year 666 when the Dark Ages started. And twice 666, around 1332, we had Lucifer and the duality construct here, working on our subconscious mind, where we were so fearful of our soul being taken over, fearful that if we didn't do good things, we would end up in lifelong purgatory or in hell. So that was the 1332, and that was around the time of Dante's Inferno and the Divine Comedy, where they really went into that whole purgatory, what it was like, and the seven layers. And so, you know, that was really profound in people's minds and gave them so much fear, because of course they were fearful because it was the Middle Ages and it was the end of the Dark Ages from that period to the next. So that's working on the subconscious mind. And now we're coming forward into the third 666, which we've just passed, but it's around this area, around this era, because Satan works with Ahriman and he makes us work on the manifest, because Satan rules the manifest world. He's the builder, the master builder, the karmic builder. And with Ahriman, he likes to make us think that we're just biology and we're just mechanical bodies with no soul. And so we can just wire ourselves up to machines or give ourselves those of medicine and chemicals to make us work better and carry on. And completely ignoring the fact that we are alive beings, which if you think you're just biology, it's like taking away all the sovereignty of your soul, all your personal power. And of course, he likes that. And on this level and in this period, he is working on the unconscious mind. So we don't even know it's happening. Or if you're looking at people who think they're just biology, they don't even know that that's what they're going into. That's the mode that they're going into a soulless life where something then can take over. If you don't engage with your own soul, then someone else can engage with it and use its energy, use its power, and you become zombified. So, you know, I think with that in mind, this is where Neptune in Pisces has also worked on that level. And you know how we feel like that we're in this splitting of timelines, and there's some people who think you'd look at who are deeply within that program of thinking they're just biology and that they can rely on chemicals. And Neptune in Pisces is enhancing this delusion for so many people, but also making that delusion so large and so obvious to others that they are actually realizing there is mind control going on. There is an all-pervasive programming that's slightly hypnotic that is drawing people into a dull life of zombiedom, of where they're just existing and watching TV, most probably the BBC, but watching just to go to work, watch TV, have food, go to bed. That's their, it's an existence, and that's what they are being drawn into. And we have now just about a year of Neptune left in Pisces, in two slices, comes in and out of Aries. That will bring about the great delusion becomes so great, the unconscious programming will be so pervasive and perhaps explode in on itself. These are the things of our time to understand and discuss, and so will form some of the subjects we will go into on the Venus Investor Astrological Year in the Star Charlotte course. So please do go and check that out, because I love delving deep into these mystery teachings. So, and I was just saying, I had a Pluto circle recently that we've obviously all got Pluto in our charts, but it sometimes takes a lifetime to understand its power. And Pluto's power is really our power. Our power that we have not claimed. We squirm out of facing its dark truths and our real desires. And very often, we give our power away. And you'll see this in a chart, we outsource it. Now, if you're ever looking at someone's chart and they're going, no, that's not me, you can bet your bottom dollar that they have outsourced that part of themselves to a husband, to a boss or a situation, a lifestyle, so they don't have to own it. There will be something in their life that embodies that aspect in the chart so that they don't have to deal with it. Quite often, though, more often than not, that can be very much be Pluto. Of course, it could be Mars or even Venus if they're totally avoidant of, say, relating kind of thing. But generally Pluto, because it's so difficult to grasp the enormity of its power, and that's actually your power. But because Pluto is a generational planet and not a personal planet, it's easier to outsource because it just becomes a thing that you engage with occasionally or every day if it's your work or your husband. And right now, with Pluto moving from Capricorn, where it focuses on big business, on governance, on the larger structures in life, perhaps we can avoid it, you know, avoid really engaging with Pluto and what it's going in. It's, oh, they are organising this. They, the government, someone else is organising these things that we can complain about but actually don't do anything about. So we can really ignore Pluto's power in Capricorn because it's in the banks. And also, you're like knocking on the door of the banks, it's really hard. But Pluto coming into Aquarius is completely different. It represents the people. It's going to add power to people, to society. And therefore, it's going to be much more difficult to ignore Pluto's power. Other people are going to be feeling its power. And there is group consciousness that will be expanding and highlighted. And so we're going to be big on this consciousness expanding qualities of Aquarius when Pluto moves in there and powers up Aquarius. So this is going to be hugely powerful with Pluto there. And I don't think we're going to be able to ignore it as much as we could when Pluto was in Capricorn, because it was something we were watching on the news or hearing on the radio. And it was other people in power doing things, because that's the Capricorn way. But now it's going to be us. It's going to be us doing it. So in this Pluto circle I had last week, I took a look at Pluto through the recent decades. Because when Pluto enters a sign at the beginning, it can bring its immense power. It can augment all the themes of that sign. And we may feel great because of this boost of surging power of that sign that we will have been missing from our lives from the sign before, as it gets greater and greater. So, for instance, we're coming to the end of Capricorn where it's top heavy and now the power goes back down to the bottom, to the people. So by the time Pluto gets the end of the sign that it's in, we can feel where that power has kind of grown a bit tired. It's got a bit intense. Perhaps the toxicity is leaking out and growing. There's poison there. There's corruption there and it needs purging. And it cannot continue. It has to transform. And really, you know, it comes to the 29 degree where it really brings about the crisis. And so how does it work? There has to be a lancing of that boil. But that's why it was so good that we had the Mars opposition, because it really did fling in the ability to get out of that situation, get out and change. So if we go back, I was talking about my parents who were in their 80s, 90s, they had Pluto in Cancer, and Pluto was only discovered in 1930 when Pluto was in Cancer. And of course, 1930, right between the two world wars, right in the middle of a great period of huge power shifts around the world and an increase of darkness, of poverty, of destitution, of real financial ruin, of famine, just as the Dust Bowl famine in America, where the land was decimated for years. So, you know, hello, Pluto, we've just discovered you in America. So welcome to the world. And he was in cancer at the time. Cancer from 1914, Great War, to 1938, the Second War. And in this time, Pluto literally ripped apart the cancer domestic life across populations across the world. And I would say, especially in Europe, World War II, especially, which happened afterwards, but that's the build-up. And especially in America, where there was famine and huge recession. So that is indicative of all our old people now who have Pluto in Cancer, who lived through that. And now, well, then we went on to Pluto in Leo. Leo, so that was 1938 to 1957, where Leo gave us the glamour of the movies, the feast of beautiful things that with the coming out of war, obviously it was such a, you know, first of all, we actually had the war where Leo in Pluto was augmenting all those big power egos and world dominating. You know, you could see the huge, big male characters that were causing this war, Pluto in Leo, giving them so much power to put other men into deathly situations where they would die at war. Politicians giving us the war, and then also bringing us onto the romance onto the screen afterwards, because it was like we're just so hungry for the glamour as well. So the male ego, as the male line, was getting incredible, not just because all the men had suddenly been wiped out and there were more women than men, but confidence was really growing after the war and people started to live a little, to have much more fun. And of course, Hollywood and its glamour, its elitism became the zeitgeist, the aspirational look and lifestyle. And even if all that glamour was very costly or, you know, in an antithesis of what went before, which took us to Pluto in Virgo, 1957 to 1971. Now, Pluto's time in Virgo is far more well known and recognized for the conjunction it had with the wild and rebellious Uranus, which gave us the swinging 60s. It was there Pluto conjunct Uranus. That was the swinging and the wildness of the 60s. But looking closer at that, whereby Virgo, the women, the maidens specifically, i.e. the fertile women, were given the contraceptive pill in this time. The Uranian power of this was revolutionary. It was wild. You were suddenly free of so many constraints because of your fertility, your Virgo-ness. Your maidenhood was just like, I don't have to be respectful of that. I can do what I want. The freedom was wild. But Pluto was also the death of fertility and of natural conception. So at first it might seem really good, it adds power to that. But actually after a while, we're realizing that populations are becoming infertile and infertility is a real growing problem. But in that with Pluto in Virgo, it was the death of the sacredness of femininity, the death of the purity of the maiden, like not actually being a thing anymore. And so in some ways that was good. It needed to move on from that. And this has now potentially come full circle as Pluto lands in Aquarius, ruled by Uranus, where we now have the major infertility and women are waking up to the sacredness of sex, and Uranus in Taurus, we're waking up to the sacredness of our bodies, my body, my choice, all the way through. So Pluto and also Uranus, while they were in Virgo, were giving the death process to much of the natural food that we ate. That period decimated the wheat and corn as it was covered in death-giving pesticides as a revolutionary idea. And of course, Virgo rules the wheat, the corn, the harvest. She rules that, and she rules the digestion and our metabolism. Virgo rules the guts. And how we might metabolize not just food, but things and ideas, because we then kind of chew on them and turn them over like a Virgo. And now that whole generation, that's the generation that gave us eating allergies and intolerances and wheat intolerances specifically, we can blame Pluto and Uranus in Virgo for that. But also primarily because of what they did to the wheat and the bread, because what is it they put? When the wheat germ is about to blossom, they cover the whole field in glyphosate and kill it, so that then the wheat germ has to really come forward powerfully in order to germinate, in order to flourish. And that's when they harvest it, when it's fought its way against it and come back harder. And that's why they get a better harvest. So that's what they're doing to the bread. And that's why it's become so, well, one of the reasons why it's become so toxic. I'm sure many of you know a lot more about that and the other ideas behind it. But yeah, Pluto in Virgo, we kind of thought that, don't realise what was happening at the time. But you can look back and see the process. And Pluto then obviously went into Libra, 1971 to 83, and ultimately turned the equality of the sexes on each other. Libra likes to be harmonious, but Pluto comes along and gives us punk rock, like sticking two fingers up at anything remotely beautiful and cutesy, or, you know, it's like here we are in our rawness. Really going to Pluto in Libra, like, no, we're not really feeling this beauty and love anymore. We're feeling this Pluto death knell on looking pretty and punk coming into being. You know, I'm personally so glad that it did. I do love a bit of punk rock. And Pluto in Scorpio then, I mean, continuing that theme, 1984 to 1995, Pluto in Scorpio, giving us the new romantics, when things swung the other day to look as beautiful, but as wild and perhaps edgy as you could. Pluto in Scorpio gave us sex, drugs and rock and roll. But of course, HIV became a major wake-up call, sexually transmitted diseases, major wake-up call to the darker issues around sex. And perhaps must realizing with Scorpio, Pluto in Scorpio, its ruler, that we were not so free and not so free to have sex with whoever we wanted as we kind of were led to believe. And we were learning about what free sex costs. And of course, many people were out in clubs doing loads of drugs and major drugs. But then, you know, you're doing that. Pluto in Sagittarius is definitely ready to pick that up, that wild vibe. Pluto in Sagittarius was 1995 to 2008 and really picked up on all of that, but kind of gave it a bit of a disco edge because there's another level of Sagittarian joy here, pure joy that the ecstasy pill gave, available to all, and everyone went crazy in fields at warehouses on these pills. There was plenty of boom and bust, things done to excess, but so much so that, you know, it ended with the subprime mortgage crisis and the banking crisis, where there was excessive loans and risks taken and major lending. Of course, we, the people, had to lend our money, had to bail the banks out. So the banks with Pluto and Sagittarius has gone crazy. So when Pluto came into Capricorn, it was like, oh my God, this is like a life raft. You know, we need Pluto and we need the banks to behave themselves. We need to trust in the banks again. So Pluto comes along, super serious Capricorn, to steady that ship that had gone completely AWOL with Pluto in Sagittarius. So we bailed the banks out, but then they became all powerful. And there was a bank on every street corner. Do you remember that? And slowly, slowly, the power Pluto gives creeps up. And now the federal state has grown so big. We can see it now. And the FDA and the CDC and, you know, telling lies to make billions of pounds, euros and dollars. Telling lies about NATO. You know, we need to bomb this country. We need to give aid to this country to encroach our power closer to people that we don't agree with. Europe as a federal state deciding what countries do en masse, and if they don't do them, fining them billions of pounds, euros, or whatever denomination it is. You know, this is the overriding power that Pluto is putting us through in Capricorn. So at the moment, we're supposed to be signing up to the WHO pandemic treaty, the WHO as in the World Health Organization pandemic treaty, that could see us all imprisoned for not taking the medication of their choice. I mean, that's happening right now. And I think we're blindly being led into that situation. One of my friends has just had a response to a 5G mask going up at the end of her road. And they said it's because her city is going to be a smart city by the 2050. So they need to put all 5G everywhere so that they can monitor you. Ah, there we are. That's where we're heading. So, right. So that's where we're heading with Pluto in Capricorn. But now we have Pluto moving into Aquarius, and we just have to bring that power back to the people. Take it, the corporates, the banks, the governments have had it too much with Pluto in Capricorn, and they've kind of gotten drunk on its power. Power does corrupt, and the power of Pluto is the best example of that. And this is why I say we cannot, should not ignore the power of Pluto anymore. Or if indeed you already have, or feeling like that it seems a bit too scary, you may have already been coming to grips with it. And now that we are ready for the leveling up, that brings responsibility to each and every one of us. It's not your country needs you, as who said this, or it's what can you do for your country? But I'm saying, what can you do for your friends, your neighbours, for society? Because that's what's going to be the big focus. And of course, like as Pluto changes signs, Pluto is going to be working with Uranus again, like in the 1960s. You know, they meet the next meeting is like 148 years later. It's going to be their meeting from mid 1960s. It's going to be in 2104, in year 2104. But right now, you know, that was a cultural revolution then. And we're going to have another one in 2104. And that what time is going to be in Taurus. So that's going to be wild. But before that, of course, they have squares, trines and oppositions to deal with. And right now we have Pluto moving into Aquarius, ruled by Uranus. So they're both working together right now as well. So we have the Pluto in Aquarius ruled by Uranus, like an activation of both of their themes. Pluto is, of course, already highly active right now, not least because of the new moon in his rulership of Scorpio just recently, but also because he's been at the head of a kite formation and also opposite his lower octave partner, Mars. And then on the 19th, he moves into Aquarius, or has moved into Aquarius, which, of course, is ruled by Uranus. And this will be straight after the Taurus full moon on the 15th, which was within half a degree, less than 30 arc minutes of Uranus. So together, they really are drumming up more revolution. And at some point coming up, I'll go into the Uranus-Pluto trines, because they are going to be live in 2026. And of course, this Uranus-Pluto coming together right now might as well remind us that we were dynamically forced to change in the years 2012 to 2015, when they last had their squares, when they were last squaring each other. And that was, again, around Brexit time as well. That's one of their squares caused Brexit. So hugely powerful together. So they're hugely powerful together. Now, back in 2012, 2015 and beyond, because I'm referring to the exact squares that Pluto and Uranus made, and Pluto was in beginning to mid Capricorn, and Uranus was in Aries at that time. So they had seven squares. And every time we had that, we were told, or where there was this kind of thing going around at the time, that each one represented something, you know, a chakra. So the first one, 24th of June 2012, was like your root chakra. And the one on the 19th of September 2012 was nearly 7 degrees, but 6 degrees. That was your sacral chakra. And so you're going from Muladhara to Swadhisthana. 20th of May 2013, what was going on then? That was Manipura, your solar plexus. 1st of November 2013, 9 degrees. That was to your heart chakra. What was going on then? I was in heartbreak at that point. But anyway, 21st of April 2014, 13 degrees. You know, that was then Vishuddhi, your throat chakra. 15th of December 2014, 12 degrees. That would have been Ajna chakra, your third eye. And then the 16th of March 2015, 15 degrees, that's going to be, you know, the crown chakra opening. So there was this process going on that we were really being kind of enlivened with Uranus being in Aries, mankind. This was happening to man. But, you know, Pluto in Capricorn, you know, this is the structure of our world. And, you know, that's sort of quite an exciting way to look at it, that we were, these seven squares were pushing us, waking us up. Who knows, they could have gone the other way around, but yes, the degrees that Uranus and Pluto squared at from Capricorn to Aries are 8 degrees to 15 degrees. If you wanted to go and have a look at that in your chart, to go back to that period and see if there was anything being inspired to change, to, it's almost like the lever arc coming in to get you out of that structure into something new. We have been forced, humanity being forced to come out of the structure perhaps and come into our new crystalline energies, our crystalline energy field. So I think that's something to have a look at if you haven't kind of looked at those dates before, from 24th of June 2012 to 16th of March 2015. But it kind of went beyond that. But those were the exact when they actually transited each other. And of course, next year is going to be so powerful, that with Uranus moving into Gemini as well as Pluto in Aquarius, so they're going to both be in the early air signs. So, you know, we can imagine the air sign, anything connected with air signs, from the digital world, the cosmos, our thinking, our minds, electronics, all those things, consciousness, are all going to get this huge boost of energy and wildness and change. So they are going to be in a trine to each other, but the actual exact trines don't actually come into 2026, and they last until 2028, the trines. And they go from 4 degrees, which will start on the 17th, 18th of July, 2026. And they last, and there's five exact trines, and they last until the 9th, 10th of May, 2028. But it does go within orb quite really closely to 2029. And it goes from 4 degrees to 8 degrees. There's only a 4 degree window there for the trine in early air signs. So what have you got in your early air signs that perhaps is going to really benefit from the boost there of what humanity will be going through and what we all be going through, from, you know, the writing, speaking, thinking, connecting, computers, digital world, all those things are going to be wildly boosted. So we've got some exciting times coming up, I think, as long as we understand that we have to get with the Pluto power. And, you know, Pluto conjunct Uranus back from the 60s is going to get its opposition. Pluto opposite Uranus is going to happen way in the future. And weirdly enough, that opposition happens when Uranus comes round to Virgo again. So that's going to be 84 years from the mid-60s. So it's going to be around 2046. And Uranus will be in Virgo, perhaps coming back, revisiting some of those ideas about the contraceptive pill. Perhaps we're going to get another boost from that we're going to be able to understand or manage our fertility in a much better way. Or maybe there's going to be new ideas because all of us are going to be infertile. Who knows? But Pluto will be in Pisces then. And I think that's going to be a profound shift with Pluto in Pisces and Virgo in Uranus, to sort of reconnect with what was going on in the 60s then. But we're not going to have to worry about that because it's 2046. So, yeah, I just wanted to sort of bring our awareness to the fact that we need to engage with Pluto. And it is difficult to sort of summon up the idea of who is Pluto in your life. Where is Pluto in your chart? And it is about to change. So I think we're all receiving that wake-up call, because it's going to be in Aquarius and exciting times coming forward. So, yeah, if you don't know where your Pluto is, come and contact me and we'll have a look. But have a look and see at what themes are coming about for you and coming up for your Pluto and Uranus too. So, and of course, if you're on the course, we'll do that anyway. We'll have a look at that. So do check out the course and the discount now for 15%. So thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you and seeing you next week.